Laboratory 2A. Preparing to verify the RFP gene. Digesting the P. era R plasmid. To generate human therapeutic proteins, scientists need to first isolate a fragment of DNA that contains the human gene that codes for the desired protein, and then insert that sequence into a plasmid. In this lab, you will do just that. You will ensure that the recombinant plasmid, P. era R, you've been given is the correct one for making the RFP in bacteria. To do this, you will use restriction enzymes to cut the plasmid, see Figure 2A.5, which will generate DNA fragments of lengths characteristic of the P. era R plasmid. This procedure is called a restriction digest, and the lengths of the fragments can be determined by gel electrophoresis, which you may do in Chapter 4A. The recombinant DNA plasmid, P. era R, contains the gene for ampicillin resistance, the red fluorescent protein, RFP, gene, a promoter for initiating transcription, and the ORI site for the initiation of DNA replication. The P. era R plasmid also contains a DNA sequence that activates the promoter when the bacteria are grown in the presence of arabinose, a 5-carbon sugar that naturally occurs in various plant and bacterial carbohydrates. This sequence is called the arabinose activator, or ARA-C. The activator controls the promoter. If arabinose is present in the bacteria, the promoter will bind RNA polymerase, and transcription will occur. If arabinose is not present, the promoter will not bind RNA polymerase, and transcription will not occur. Figure 2A.5 illustrates the P. era R plasmid. The relevant components on the plasmid are the RFP gene, the promoter, P-BAD, the ampicillin resistance gene, AMP-R, and the arabinose activator, ARA-C. In addition to showing the relevant components, Figure 2A.5 also shows the size of the plasmid, the number in the center, which indicates the number of base pairs, or BP, and the sequences where it can be cut by the restriction enzymes that will be used in the lab. The sites labeled BAMH1 and HINDY3 represent restriction sites for these two restriction enzymes. See Table 2A.1 on page C8. Figure 2A.4 on page C11 shows the insulin gene being inserted in a single restriction enzyme site in the plasmid. In the cloning of the RFP gene, two restriction enzymes, BAMH1 and HINDY3, are used in cutting the plasmid and in isolating the RFP gene. Using two different restriction enzymes has advantages. It allows the inserted gene to be oriented in the correct position for transcribing the sense strand of DNA, the strand that codes for the protein, and it prevents the plasmid from reforming a circle without the inserted gene. You'll learn more about this if you do Chapter 4A. Stop and think. Why does using two different enzymes to cut the plasmid prevent the plasmid from reforming a circle without the inserted gene? Before the lab, respond to the following with your group and be prepared to share your thoughts with the class. 1. Review Figure 2A.5. If P. era R is digested with BAMH1 and HINDY3, what fragments are produced? Record the nucleotide sequence of the sticky ends and the length of each fragment, BP, and indicate the genes and other important sequences present on each fragment. 2. To create a plasmid that can produce RFP in bacteria, what components are needed in the plasmid? 3. Bacteria can be killed by an antibiotic, unless they carry a plasmid that has the gene for resistance to that antibiotic. Scientists call these kinds of genes selectable markers. Only bacteria that carry this gene will survive exposure to an antibiotic. If the uptake of DNA by bacteria is inefficient, as discussed in the reading, why is a selectable marker critical in cloning a gene in bacteria? 4. Read the methods section on pages C17 and C18 and briefly outline the steps using words and a flowchart. Materials. Reagents. A rack with the following. Microfuse tube of 2.5x restriction buffer, 2.5xB. Microfuse tube of PRR, RP. Microfuse tube of restriction enzymes BAMH1 and HindI3, RE. Microfuse tube of distilled water, DH2O. Equipment and supplies, P20 micropipette. Tip box of disposable pipette tips. 2 1.5 milliliters microfuse tubes. Permanent marker. Microcentrifuge will be shared among all groups. 37 degrees Celsius water bath with floating microfuse tube rack will be shared among all groups. A waste container for used tips and microfuse tubes will be shared among groups. Safety. All appropriate safety precautions and attire required for a science laboratory should be used, including safety goggles. Please refer to your teacher's instructions. Wash your hands well with soap after completing the lab. Methods. Check your rack to make sure that you have all the reagents listed. 2. Use the marker to label 2 clean microfuse tubes, R+ and R-. Include your group number and class period on each tube. Review Table 2A.2, which summarizes the reagents that you will add in Step 4. Table 2A.2 illustrates the addition of reagents to the R+ and R- tubes. Lab technique. In Step 4, be sure to use a new micropipette tip for each reagent to avoid contamination. 4. Using a new pipette tip for each reagent, add the following. A. 4.0 microliter of 2.5xB to the R+ and R- tubes. B. 4.0 microliter of RP to the R+ and R- tubes. C. 2.0 microliter of RE to the R+ tube. Add the enzymes directly into the solution at the bottom of the microfuge tube. Gently pump the solution in and out with the pipette to mix the reagents. Cap the tube when done. D. 2.0 microliter of DH2O to the R- tube. Gently pump the solution in and out with a pipette to mix the reagents. Cap the tube when done. Stop and think. In this step, you're asked to set up a tube without the restriction enzymes, BAMH1 and HindI3. What is the purpose of this step, and why is it important? 5. Spin the two microfuge tubes, R+ and R-, in the microcentrifuge for 4 seconds to pool the reagents at the bottom of each tube. Lab technique. Distribute the tubes evenly in the microcentrifuge so that their weight is balanced. 6. Place both tubes into the 37 degrees Celsius water bath. You will place your tubes in the floating microfuge tube rack. When the rack is full, your teacher will place it in the water bath. Incubate for 15 minutes. After the incubation is complete, place both tubes in the freezer at minus 20 degrees Celsius. You will analyze the contents of the tubes in Laboratory 4A. Stop and think. Why might the enzymes work best at 37 degrees Celsius? Why should the enzymes then be placed in the freezer? Hint: the human body temperature is 37 degrees Celsius.